Joshua 18, and we'll read through the end of chapter 19. And first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you again for your word. And Father, I ask that you would help all of us in the reading of it to not be distracted by the names, and rather that we would be encouraged in Christ your Son, encouraged to turn unto you from our sin, and that you would be praised as we look to the great inheritance granted to us first in you, and the many mansions that you've prepared for us. We ask that you would help us now in the reading and preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Joshua 18, verse 1. These are God's words. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you 3 men from each tribe, or for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land, and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. He shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into 7 parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Beth-Aven. And the border went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward. And the border descended to Ataroth Adar near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth-Horon. And the border was drawn thence and compassed the corner of the sea southward from the hill that lieth before Beth-Horon southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath Jearim, and a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath Jearim, and the border went out on the west and went out to the well of waters of Netuah. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusi on the south, and descended to En-Rogel, and was drawn from the north and went forth to and Shemesh, and went forth toward Gilaloth, which is over against the going up of Adumim, and descended to the stone of Buhan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Araba northward, and went down unto Araba. And the border passed along to the side of Beth Hogla northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast. And Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coast thereof round about according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin according to their families were Jericho and Beth Hogla and the valley of Kaziz and Beth Araba and Zim Aram and Bethel and Avim and Parah and Ophrah and Kepher Ha'amonai and Ophni and Gaba, 12 cities with their villages. Gibeon and Ramah and Beroth and Mitzpah and Kephirah and Motzah and Rechem and Erpiel and Tarala and Zela and Eleph and Jebusai, which is Jerusalem. Gibeath and Kerjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon according to their families, and their inheritance was within the children, the inheritance of the children of Judah. And they had in their territory, in their inheritance, Sheba and Moladah, and Hazador Shual, and Bala, and Ezem, and Altalad, and Bethul, and Horma, and Ziklag, and Beth Markoboth, and Hazor Susa, and Bethla Baoth, and Shahruhen, 13 cities and their villages. Ayan, Ramon, Ether, and Ashan, 4 cities and their villages, and all the villages that were round about these cities to Baalath Ber, Ramath of the south. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun, according to their families. And the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid. And their border went up toward the sea, and Maralah, and reached to Dab Basheth, and reached to the river that is before Jokneam, and turned from Sarid eastward toward the sun rising, unto the border of Kisaloth Tabor, and then goeth out to Deberoth, and goeth up to Japhia. And from thence passeth on along on the east to Gitta Hefer, to Itta Kazin, and goeth out to Ramon Methoar to Nea. And the border compasseth it on the north side to Hananathon, and the outgoings thereof are in the valley of Jiph-Tha-El, and Kitta, and Nahalal, and Simron, and Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun according to their families, these cities with their villages. And the fourth lot came out to Issachar for the children of Issachar according to their families. And their border was toward Jezreel and Kesaluth and Shunem and Hapharaim and Shion and Anaharath and Rabith and Kishon and Abez, and Remeth, and En-Ganim, and En-Hadah, and Beth-Pazez. And the coast reacheth to Tabor, and Shahazimah, and Beth-Shemesh, and the outgoings of their border were at Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher according to their families, and their border was Helkath and Hali and Betin and Akshaph and Elimelech and Amad and Misael, and reacheth to Carmel westward and to Shihor Libnath, and turneth toward the sun rising to Beth Dagon, and reacheth to Zebulun and to the valley of Jiphthah El toward the north side of Bethemek and Neel, and goeth up to Kabul on the left hand, and Hebron and Rehob and Hamon and Cana even unto great Zidon. And then the coast turneth to Ramah and to the strong city Tyre, and the coast turneth to Hosa, and the outgoings thereof are at the sea from the coast to Akzib. And Uma also, and Ephek, and Rehob 20, and two cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher according to their families, these cities with their villages. The sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali according to their families, and their coast was from Heleph, from Alon, to Zaananim and Adami, Nekeb and Jabneel, unto Lakum, and the outgoings thereof were at Jordan. And then the coast turneth westward to Asnoth Tabor, and goeth out from thence to Hukuk, and reacheth to Zebulun on the south side, and reacheth to Asher on the west side, and to Judah upon Jordan toward the sun rising. And the fenced cities are Zedim, Zer, and Hamath, Rekath, and Kinnereth, and Adama, and Rama, and Hazor, and Kedesh, and Adrei, and En-Hazor, and Iron, and Migdal, and Horam, and Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali according to their families, the cities, and their villages. And the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families. And the coast of their inheritance was Zorah and Eshtaol and Er Shemesh and Shaal Labim and Ajalon and Jethlah and Elon and Timnathah and Ekron and Eltekah and Gibbethon and Baaloth and Jahud and Beneberek and Gathramon and Medjerkon and Rekkon with the border before Jepho. And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and dwelt therein called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan their father. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families, these cities with their villages. And when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah and Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. And those are God's words. The Christian is often faced in Scripture with passages like these, and we've had them recently in Joshua. You see them in Chronicles and places where there's genealogies and things like that. They often are seemingly boring. And there are a lot of names. In this case, there's lots of names of cities and border description. And it seems like not much substance and that you can easily see. And yet you remember again that this should have been one of the most exciting things that these people ever heard. One of them. A people who had never known a home, property, but only lived wandering in the wilderness and tents. And now they get their own land, they get their own properties, their inheritance from Jehovah. Their families would have places to live for generations to come, praise the Lord. But we come to these texts wanting to get through them quickly or skip over them. In many churches they do. But we remember the passages that the Scripture has taught us the Lord gave us for our good. This is for our good. All of them. All Scripture for our good, to equip us for every good work. And so there's much for us to learn All of which should move us to praise the Lord and give thanks unto His name. And we thus far covered the inheritances of those tribes to the east of the Jordan River who received their inheritances, as we said at the beginning here in chapter 18, under Moses, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And to the west of the Jordan River as well. Now we've heard covered Caleb and Judah and the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. And in our passage this evening, we're left with a more quicker account of the last seven tribes that receive their inheritance. Yeah, first, verse 1, the tabernacle is moved. It says, in the whole congregation, in chapter 18, verse 1, the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. If you remember when Israel had crossed the Jordan to fight and wage war against the Canaanites, that they encamped at Gilgal. And that's where they've been ever since until this point. They've been at Gilgal, which is like 2 miles north east of Jericho. And of course west of the Jordan River and just northwest of the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. And now they move to Shiloh, which is some 15 miles northwest of Gilgal. 20 miles north now of Jerusalem, and it's here at Shiloh where it says all Israel gathered, and there the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, worship was set up. And this was now the central place and location of worship and the presence of the Lord on earth and in all of Israel. But as we mentioned last Lord's Day, this is great trouble that there is from this point of Ephraim always fighting against Judah. Ephraim attempted numerous times to establish a king over Israel from Ephraim in Judges. We see here in the tabernacle has come to Shiloh. Shiloh's in Ephraim. And so that's in their mind, that's where the temple should be built when it comes in Solomon's day. But that was taken from them in their mind. It was taken from them and given to Judah, even though it was all along supposed to be in Judah. The temple was built in Jerusalem. And then when Solomon taxed all the other tribes more than Judah, and Rehoboam was unwise in his dealings with the people, and the kingdom is divided, and Israel raised up Jeroboam, the son from Ephraim. He was from Ephraim. The long-standing rivalry that Ephraim had with their southern neighbor Judah was constant as the Lord favored Judah. And it stemmed, you remember, from their pride, we heard last Lord's Day, and their rebellion against Jehovah. Even from this point in Joshua, it stemmed from here. And they're not conquering all the Canaanites. And they're allowing the Canaanites' religion and the Canaanite philosophy to intermingle with Ephraim's religion, and that's syncretism, and affected how they lived and their beliefs, and grew them in hardness of heart as well. And that's where you'll get the worship of Baal later. But what danger there is today, beloved, when we take in the philosophies of the world, we bring them into our thoughts, into the church, into God's worship, and it only leads to destruction and rebellion and divisions in the church. Well, that's a lot in a way of reminder from last Lord's Day, but it's important to see here God's providence in bringing the tabernacle for His purposes to Shiloh in Ephraim. Shiloh is where the ark remained until the Philistines captured it in 1 Samuel 4. Shiloh is where the high priest of course, served, since the tabernacle was there, Eli, 1 Samuel 1, that's where Samuel then, under Eli, trained from childhood to adult to be a minister of the Lord, and it's where Joshua now allocates the remaining inheritances, which at the time would have been more central to the rest of Israel there in Shiloh, and closer to the remaining tribes. Most of those tribes that had not received their inheritance yet would all be to the north, and so they come to Shiloh, which is further north than Gilgal. And verse 2. There remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? And how long are ye slack to go and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers hath given you? There's something wrong here with these last 7 tribes. The others had come to Joshua. Remember, they had come to Joshua seeking their land. What would they receive? And they were excited. They were joyful of the land promises, the covenant promises that had been given at first to Abraham. Even though we read last Lord's Day, after receiving the land, that Ephraim and Manasseh, they grumbled before Jehovah that their portions they thought were too small, even though they were not at all. But these last 7 tribes, they're sitting idly doing nothing. They're doing nothing. They're slothful and they do not care. And we might want to ask, what's wrong with these people? How long are ye slack to go to possess the land? Joshua says to the Lord through Joshua, and they were too well pleased with their present condition. They were too content, they're quite content to live with all the other tribes together. Sort of the opposite. One theologian brings out of the Tower of Babel after the Lord had given them different tongues and different languages, and He's spreading them apart in accordance with their common languages where they found each other. But here they're staying together. And that one theologian calls them Babel builders. They're coming together and staying together when they should be divided. All the spoil that they had gained from battling the major Canaanite peoples was plenty for them, and they banished all thoughts of the glories that awaited. They said, this is good enough. They were content. Now, where were these tribes at? They were staying within the borders. They're at Shiloh, right? They're staying within the borders of tribes that had already received their inheritance. They were in Ephraim. And Ephraim apparently is being very kind to their brethren. Praise the Lord. But this led to their being slothful, slack. And it sounds, again, much like the church today. It perhaps sounds like us. Slothful, lukewarm. The church has received in our nation so many blessings. Life is easy here as a Christian. It seems like it. It's easy. There is not, for the time being, that much persecution or suffering for God's people from the world. There's lots of money that makes us comfortable in our homes. That alone should tell you that we are well off. We have our own homes. And so much that we have a building to worship in. We all have those homes. We have property. Some of us, they've been provided, of course, by our gracious God. Praise the Lord. And so we are made to feel comfortable. Not by God, but by our own hearts. As we're tempted to sin. And we become, because of where our comfort found here in things, we become lazy. Lazy in our faith. Lazy in our evangelism. Lazy in our worship. Lazy in our private worship. Lazy in our family worship. And that goes to the rest of life too. Lazy in our work, our jobs. And lazy at home. If you go to those nations that are under great persecution, where they're afforded no opportunity to be comfortable, where some have been kicked out of their homes, like in Acts, just like them, or that is, they're threatened regularly, and threatened to be thrown out of their homes, threatened to go to jail, be thrown in prison, where there is no organized central place in the community to worship Jehovah, and everybody knows that's where you go to worship the Lord. There's none of that. Where there are jobs, there's always someone looking over their shoulder, waiting for them to make a mistake and to fire them. Everything is on edge and everything's a risk and everything's a trial before them. And beloved, there are God's people are hot and on fire for our God and Jesus Christ, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And they're telling all they come in contact with about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're ready this very moment to live and to die for Jesus Christ with no hesitation. They're very much, as we've studied, they're like Caleb. They're ready. They're ready to go take out the rest of the Canaanites that are in the land, even those in the rest of Judah. And yet these other seven tribes, they're sitting there slacking, lazy, slow to act, always delaying. And we, if we're wise, we're calling out to them, wake up! And we ought to be calling out to ourselves, wake up from this ease that we have. Wake up from the glories that await you. And look at them. A great inheritance awaits, beloved. Being with Jehovah, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever and ever, where you're being with Him in communion forever and ever, that awaits us. And now we ask, where are you being diverted from your real duties as a citizen of Christ's kingdom? Greater comfort awaits the people of God. But here we're slack in taking possession of our inheritance today. And that message is not for these people, it's for you and for me. We are slack in taking possession of heaven today. We aren't seeking to enter into that rest. And so we, like Psalm 95, we shut off our ears and we're hardened in our hearts. And we're hearing with our ears, but we're not really receiving with our hearts, nor are we really moved to action and faith, convinced with all of our soul that we must do all now, as we have breath in our lungs, all for Jesus, who's our King. And we seek not that rest by faith and hope and joy. We live not in heaven as we might by setting our affections on things above and having our conversation there. We'd rather converse about worldly things all the day, even on the Lord's Day, instead of heavenly things. And how long will it be like that for all of us? How long will we stand like this in our own light instead of the light of Jesus Christ? Because our light will fade, but the light of Jesus Christ endures forever. How long will we continue to forsake the Lord's mercies for the lying vanities of the world? Do you know what is happening in the church today? We are not evangelizing, truly. We're not taking the opportunities the Lord has granted us to make known His name to all nations. We're not storming the gates of Hades, which cannot overcome us nor win the victory against us. And we're lazy. We're slothful. And all that does, as it were here, the Canaanites, while these seven tribes are laying around slothfully, those Canaanites that had fled, and they're now recovering their strength. And they're fortifying themselves in the places that they still had possession of, and that would make driving them out and destroying them all the more difficult, and that would lead to idolatry in Israel. And it's the same for us, beloved. The children of the devil are hardening their hearts more and more as the day goes on. And our slothfulness, they're being hardened in our heart because they're not hearing the gospel. And they're being hardened to a love of the world more and more. And it's harder and harder to wake them up by the grace of God. Of course, He does it. But it's also harder and harder to wake us up from our stupor and our laziness. For here is Jehovah through Joshua stirring the people to take possession of their lot. Beloved, you're called here today to take possession of yours. Take possession of your inheritance. To take up heaven. To live for glory and live for what you hope in. Wake up from your slumber. Meditate upon what it means when Paul says, based upon all the mercies of God and salvation, in eternally loving you, in predestinating you, in calling you, in justifying you, and the great promise of glorifying you that is guaranteed. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. But that's what we're being conformed to when we're lazy and slothful. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God. And a sacrifice is not lazy. It's not slack. Not focused on the pleasures and entertainments of this world, but it's focused on the Lord and living for Him and for Christ our King. Is He your King? Are you submitting unto Him in all things? In your life, in all things, in your heart, in all things? Consider that and examine your heart and your life today before the King. Who are you and how are you living before Him? And consider also Luke 1 and the covenant made with Abraham. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life." And Israel had defeated the vast majority of the Canaanites. They'd been delivered from their enemies, delivered from the wilderness to receive their own land. And so that they might now serve Jehovah with fear and holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of their life. Now, beloved, the Lord in Christ has delivered from far worse, delivering you from the greater enemies of Satan and slavery to sin, even yourself. And having delivered, how much more ought we to serve Him without fear and holiness and righteousness before Him? How much more ought we to serve Him? Israel was slack. The seven tribes were slacking. Verse 3 it says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe. I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went into to describe the land, saying, "Go and walk through the land, describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh." And the men went and passed through the land and described it by lots, or by cities, into 7 parts in a book. Came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh, and Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there divided Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. All right, 7 tribes, remaining tribes here, without land allotted to them yet. And so the land the Lord has given to Israel, and the remainder of it, you have to divide it into 7 parts. Judah already has their part in the south. Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh have their parts there to the north of them, by the sea, Mediterranean Sea. Go and determine, therefore, what's remaining. The Levites are not going to have a part, as promised by the Lord. And Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, they will not receive any more. They already received theirs. And so they go out, they come back with the report, the lots are cast, and the receiving of the land goes as it has been doing in order, at least recently, of Jacob's wives and then concubines. And Jacob's favorite wife was Rachel. And we've already covered Joseph, and his second son, though, was Benjamin, or after Joseph was Benjamin. Then Jacob's other wife, Leah, we'll see their children, Simeon, Zebulun, and Issachar, are given their inheritances, and then the rest from the concubines, Asher, and Naphtali, and Dan. Benjamin, first here, was given an inheritance that lied between Judah to their south, and Ephraim to their northwest, and Manasseh to their northeast. And again, some of your Bibles have the maps in the back. If you're confused, you can look at those. Usually they have a somewhat accurate depiction of what the borders were of each tribe. But their eastern border would have been the Jordan River. Now, we're not going to read again all the verses. But we remember that as we go back to Genesis 49, as we've been going back to Genesis 49, seeing about why each tribe is getting their land and how they're getting it. For Benjamin in Genesis 49, it says, "Benjamin shall raven as a wolf, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil." And this tribe, we see described and we see in the description in history, from the word, they were a warring tribe, strong, and they devoured many enemies, and this tribe would come from them, would come to Israel, the king that Israel chose, Saul. Not who Jehovah chose, but Saul, the one after their own desires, because he was a man of stature. We go to chapter 19 then. And the tribe of Simeon is given their inheritance. Again, we remember the Levites with the Simeonites were not promised great things from Genesis 49 because of their sin earlier in Genesis and murdering a people. Simeon and Levi are brethren. This is Genesis 49. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. And we have here described, and we'll hear later as well, Levi is scattered throughout Israel, and Simeon divided. In verse 9 is the description of Simeon and their land that was given to them. It says in verse 9, "Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them." Simeon was given their portion from among the land that was actually given to Judah. And Simeon's land was surrounded by Judah, and so they were in some sense divided from their brethren, as Genesis 49 promised. And then verses 10 through 16, Zebulun was given land prior to his older brother Issachar, which is, again, odd. The older brothers usually would get their inheritance first. But Zebulun is given land prior, since Jacob blessed Zebulun first in Genesis 49. And why he did that, we don't know, but he did. "Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his borders shall be unto Zidon." And as we considered Manasseh last Lord's Day, Zebulun's land would be directly north of Manasseh, with Asher to its west next to the Mediterranean Sea. Asher was next to the Mediterranean Sea, and Issachar would be to its southeast of Zebulun, and Naphtali to its northeast. Issachar is next, verses 17 to 23. And Issachar's blessing from his father, Genesis 49, it says, "Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant on the tribute." And then Asher, verses 24 to 31, north of Manasseh, against the Mediterranean Sea, again, a very fruitful land, being next to the sea. And as it describes in Genesis 49, as it promised, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. A very fruitful land that would even provide for the kings. And then Naphtali, verses 32 to 39, in which Genesis 49 says, Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. That is, they're not fighters, but they're friendly. They use words. And their tribe was the far central north of Israel. The last tribe is Dan, verses 40 to 48, and their location was west of Benjamin, north of Judah, south of Ephraim. In Judges 1, Dan would be pushed into the hill country by the Amorites, who they did not expel from the land in their sin. And it says of Dan, Dan shall judge his people, in Genesis 49, as one of the tribes of Israel, Dan shall be a servant, a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. And of Genesis 49, as we're looking to that a little bit, one theologian said, in considering the prophecies of Genesis 49, he said of these many tribes, he said, among God's Israel there is to be found a great variety of dispositions, contrary to each other, yet all contributing to the beauty and strength of the body. Judah, like a lion, Issachar, like an ass, Dan, like a serpent, Naphtali, like a hind. Let not those of different tempers and gifts censure one another, nor envy one another, any more than those of different statures and complexions. And so God's people and all the land given to these tribes, we notice that while they are one people, Israel, they're different. And we also notice that they're not all treated equally in what they receive. Some are blessed more than others, and we see that even in the grumbling of Manasseh and Ephraim last Lord's Day. Judah was given more than the rest of the tribes. And yet it was Judah that remained the most faithful, the most holy. And it was God's design that way, that they would lead Israel and be granted kings, and the King of Kings come from that tribe, and they would receive the blessings of being at the center of God's worship in all of the earth. And even His presence. And the other tribes are hardly spoken of. And later in Scripture, we don't even hear about them really again. Some of them, Dan for instance, we don't hear. I think it's in Chronicles. We don't even... It's not even mentioned, Dan. There's no descendants from there. Benjamin becomes as nothing, we learn. But what this passage points to all of us here today too is that every true Christian, no matter how holy and no matter how faithful in God's eternal decrees and providence, every true Christian, everyone who truly believes on Christ, who truly hates their sin and turns from it unto Christ alone, every true believer in Christ will share in the inheritance of God's people. Everyone. Every single one receives an inheritance. It might be a little less, it might be a little more, but you all receive the inheritance of eternal life if you're a child of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Are you a miserable sinner who clings alone to Jesus Christ for your salvation? To you the promise is given, no matter how strong or how weak you are in faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You are given the promise, no matter how strong or how weak. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. all joint heirs with Christ, and will be glorified together with Him. There are those in the church that are annoying. There are those in the church that grate on your nerves. There are those in the church who are hard to serve and difficult to love. But they are your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and each one of them, as you, will receive an inheritance. And why is that? Because the Lord designed us very much the same in bodily appearance, but He made us different for His glory. We hear, of course, those passages in Corinthians about the body and the different parts of the body. We learn in Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if He be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And you think of that in their context of the Gentiles being so thought in their mind as unclean to the Jews. But there is no Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ. And all of Abraham's seed, by faith, receives an inheritance and are heirs. That's the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 reminds us then of that. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're all one, and yet we all have different measures of grace. Even Romans 12 talks about that, you remember, from a couple years ago. So we went through there. Every Christian is an heir. And so now if you're an heir, then you are to live as becomes followers of Jesus Christ and fellow heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Live how? The seven tribes here slacked and they did not seek their inheritance. And that teaches us that how we are to live is to live for heaven now and to speak of heaven now. To put off your slothfulness and be diligent in your service to the Lord. Your citizens of Christ's kingdom, be godly citizens of His kingdom for the glory of your King. And the bookends here, we also see in chapter 14 and 19. Caleb, in chapter 14, he received the first inheritance. The last inheritance is given to Joshua at the end of chapter 19. The two oldest men in all of Israel, those alone who are left of the first generation who went through the wilderness, the two who went to spy out the land and brought back a faith-filled message of hope because they knew God's promises. And how did they live? They lived looking to heaven. They lived looking for the comfort that awaits them. They lived with inheritance in mind, knowing the Lord would destroy all the enemies. Verse 49, therefore, it says in chapter 19, when they had made an end of dividing the land for an inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances, as a summary of the whole, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Joshua the son of Nun, a faithful servant, receives his inheritance as the Lord had promised him. Now we don't hear much about this place after this. The place that was for his family and himself. That's where he would die and he would be buried. And though at the time the oldest and greatest man in all of Israel, the faithful one, Joshua, who served as mediator between God and man at that point, points us, of course, to Jesus in many ways besides, of course, the mediator, our mediator. But he receives the last parcel of land as a special blessing for his faithfulness with Caleb. And he receives a very small portion. Very small. But such a small portion herein, the promised land, to Joshua is just a promised guarantee of the future glorious inheritance in eternity. God's people have the best portion saved up for the last, whereas the world has their best portion now, in which will be ripped from them, and they have the worst to come. And so remember that, beloved. We have the best to come, and which should give us all the more reason to live and be as living sacrifices to the Lord. And seek first His kingdom and be willing to give up all for Him. Remember that, even as we think of what Jesus said, or what it says concerning Jesus at the wedding at Cana in John 2. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for Your Word. Even this Word, which might be often hard for us to consider, hard for us to read, even in English, of the many Hebrew names that are a great struggle to us. But Father, what great reminders and promises that You've given us in covenant. The covenant that was given first to Abraham, of the promise of land, of which we receive as those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, we're thankful for Christ, our bridegroom, that though we might not have the best now, He will certainly provide us with the best in the age to come. And so, Father, help us to recall that to mind and meditate upon these truths, that we would be moved all the more. And we plead that we would be moved by Your grace through the Spirit to live all our life for King Jesus, for His crown and covenant. We pray in His name. Amen.